Hello, PMP tribe. Welcome to office hours. I'm going to give you guys just a minute to come in while I get myself situated here. Give everybody a chance to join that's going to. Happy New Year, everyone. Can't believe it's January 1st already. I have to tell you a funny story. I have an uncle who is in his 80s, who is very much like my dad. Used to be. They look alike, talk alike, sound alike, all the things. And he called me today to wish me a happy new year. And he said, you know, Kathleen, this is not the first year of the next decade. It's the last year of the previous decade. And I was like, what? So leave it to an 80-year-old man to wrinkle your brain on New Year's Day. So now that we're here, if we have any newbies around, I want to give you the lay of the land, okay? So when you attend a live coaching call, no one can see you or hear you until I call you up on the screen. If you want to be coached, and I see Ala has her hand raised, so she'll probably be first, I will promote Ala to a panelist and she will come on screen. She will get notifications from Zoom to, you know, if she needs to turn her camera on or if she needs to turn her audio on. And once she is set, then we'll get started. If you do want to come on screen, I need you to make sure you have decent lighting, a good internet connection, and that you're not moving around, especially driving. It would really hurt my soul if I was talking to you and you wrecked. Now, you guys can chat amongst yourselves in the chat. Be sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees so people can see what you're saying. If you have a question for me and I have time at the end of the call, I will go through the Q&A and see what's in there. Okay? Let's see if I've gotten everything. I think that's it. So let's go ahead and get started. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Kathy. I've been around PMP since about 2013. I am the podcast co-host and coach in the tribe, so you'll see me around quite a bit. Lost 80 pounds and have quite the story to tell. So let's get started with the coaching though. Let's see who's here. Ala, you are first. Let's see what you got. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I guess you can hear me. I can hear you. We're all
awesome.
Set.
Awesome. Yeah, I tried to get on the call, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was in the airport. I was traveling a lot in December, and I listened to the 35-minute coaching call of this wonderful lady, and she went on, and I was like, yes, I'm next. And I heard everything, and then when it was my turn, you couldn't hear me or see me, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, That's what happens. Seriously, in an airport, there's a lot of people using that bandwidth. Yeah. So your connection probably just wasn't good and strong. So now you're here. What's up?
I'm here. All set. Mm-hmm. So I finished 2019 strong. I mean, since camp, I think my November and December have been inconsistent. That's the word I'm using. And what I really want to kind of talk about today is remaining more consistent. So I'm happy with my progress overall. I think I'm a 36, 37 down. I did have a little bit of a 0.5 and 0.5 in each November and December. I looked at my data. I mean, I wasn't following the plan more than 60, 70% of the time. And I wasn't eating 2-2-2 more than 60 and 70% of the time. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of travel. So zero excuses, just life, yep. Right?
Just giving me the data, right?
Just the data, yeah. And but I had 148 recovery/discovery worksheets for the year of 2019.
So How many did you have in November and December?
I had 11 in December and I had 14 in November.
And did you do one every time?
I did one every time.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yep. That's always a good question though, right? I know what I did. I don't need to do a worksheet. Wrong.
Well, and I mean, you coach so many people, but one of the things that you and Betsy has coached me back in the summer is I was you know, resistant the recovery worksheets at the time, because I said, I'm writing the same thing down. I have this habitual night eating in the kitchen. I got coached by you guys, by Corinne, you know, I really focused on it. You know, because as a recovery perfectionist, I said, well, it's four basics, Kathy, right? So it's really not in my mind good enough to be like, I'll just focus on my minus two plus two and work on one thing. What I tried to do is work on all four things plus my night eating. Right. So I think I got myself to a place where I was doing well. And then, you know, like everything else, like you have the blimp up and then it's like you didn't do pee pee for a whole year. Right. So I focused on my night eating August, September, October. So going into camp, I was at my lowest weight. I was actually halfway through. And I think I got a little, I was used the word cocky after, because my goal was to lose 3 more pounds before the end of the year. And this is, was, I think, October 6th. And I was like, oh my goodness, of course I'm going to lose 3 more pounds. You know, I'm going to crush my goal. Well, it went the other way. It went the other way. So my October was still, I think, on track, on point. But November and December were struggling. So what I'm working on now is this concept of consistency, where I could still say, okay, my night eating is number one. And when I looked at all my data for November and December, 60-70% of all the overeats and off-plan eats were, again, the night eating. So kind of that habit came back. And I was, and the behavior that I am working on, and I know I'm going to work on it for the rest of my life. So I know that now. And I'm in peace with that, because for a few months, I was really struggling with the fact that once I stop night eating, it's not going to come back again, Kathy, because if it comes back, I'm a failure and I'm not going to do this, right? I'm not going to accomplish my goals here. So I worked a lot on that concept of, okay, I had an overeat. I'm going to do this and I move on. It's it's done. But the night eating has, you know, I'm choosing to eat at night. And that's really why the November and December results that I have. And I'm refocusing on the night eating now again, but I was much better sitting with the urges. And I don't know, you know, that was right on the heels when the urges course first came out in the summer. Corinne coached me on the night eating, and I was like, of course, I'm going to say no to myself. And I had such success over the 3 months, and then kind of, you know, I don't say went back to my habits, because I'm choosing to do this, obviously. Yeah. Nobody's yeah, so, like.
So you've said that a couple of times, back to my habits, or my habit came back. Let's assume your habit is always there. Okay. The suggestion to eat at night is not going away. Right. You called it an urge. I called it a suggestion. Same thing. Right. Yeah. But you said something, I want to go back to, you were talking about being consistent, and you said something about when you got cocky. What was the, what was the thought when you got cocky? Oh, it's just 3 pounds or what?
Yeah, so I had a goal of to be 190, under 190 by the end of the year, coming off camp. And I think when I came weighing from camp, actually I had a 2 pound loss at camp, which was amazing. Came in, it was like 193. And I was like, oh, I could totally lose 3 pounds in, you know, 9 weeks.
Okay.
You know, and then the minute I thought that, I noticed my food got a little bit more of a, you know, my realistic plan became a little bit more realistic to say, this is how I want to eat during the holidays versus this is how I want to eat during the holidays and still have the weight loss. And the weight started to go the other way because I was being realistic, and I'm not going to, you know, Corinne did a coaching call like 2 days ago on this same concept. And I was like, wow, well, that's exactly what it is. I want to eat the way I want to eat, but I still have a weight loss goal to meet. And at some point I have to say no to myself.
Right. With that's the called urges. Competing desires, right? You have a goal, yet you want all the food too. So back to camp. Oh, I can just lose 3 pounds in what'd you say?
Like nine weeks. Like nine 3 weeks. Months I had.
Three pounds in 9 weeks. Tell me more about that. Talk a little bit more about that thought. So what does that lead you to do? I mean, so I can lose 3 pounds in 9 weeks. Sounds very, you know, positive. But when you say, oh, I can lose 3 pounds in 9 weeks, what are you really saying?
I'm saying I'm not going to hold myself accountable to stick to my plan and eat at not eat at night anymore, because it's only 3 pounds, Kathy.
It's only 3 pounds, Kathy. So when you say it's only 3 pounds,
And my success right before that whole experience happened is I lost, you know, I had like, I don't want to say stall because I knew what I was doing, but I had no, you know, I don't use any of the words. Hello, newbies. Welcome to the tribe. That's how you talk.
So when you say it's only 3 pounds, what's the feeling? You said cocky, right?
Cocky. Yeah. Okay. Like, and when I can do this with my eyes closed.
Oh my gosh. That's another one. I could do this with my eyes closed. We could have that. Seriously. Let's use that one.
Okay.
Okay. I could do this with my eyes closed. And when you feel cocky, what do you do or not do?
I don't follow my plan.
Okay.
I overeat because at that point, I don't put pressure on myself to say, you have 10 pounds to lose in 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, your realistic plan mm-hmm. needs to reflect the actions you're going to take to lose 10 pounds in 9 weeks versus 3. Mm-hmm. To me, the number drives the behavior. And I don't know.
The number doesn't drive the behavior.
The thought drives the behavior.
The thought drives the behavior.
Right.
So this thought is 3 pounds in, or the C line is 3 pounds in 90 days.
Right.
Right.
And it's my own artificial goal. It's not like nobody, it was my own thing I wanted to do.
That's okay. You don't have to call, your goal isn't artificial unless you decide it is. It's just a goal. Right. I mean, that's just the C line. I could do this with my eyes closed, cocky, don't follow plan, overeat. Results in?
I actually gained weight.
Mm-hmm. Kept your eyes closed to the plan, right?
Yeah.
So for all the newbies out there, let's just take a pause. This is called the model. This is basically a diagram of how Alla's thought, which is the T line, creates a result in her life. Because a thought creates a feeling. When you feel a certain way, you do or don't do actions, which is the A, and actions create results. Actions or inactions create results. This is all in phase 2 of No BS. Right? Called thinking thin.
I didn't get to the new one yet. I'm starting the new one right now.
Oh, well, and that's fine. I just didn't want any newbies on the call to be
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
What is
it's
this?
It's in my planner.
What is this new language?
What is this? Yes.
Right?
What is unintentional? What is intentional?
Right. And Alla's been around for how long? When did you join?
In the trap a year ago. I was a year 2019 ago. Yeah. A year baby. Yes.
So Alla has been looking at how her thoughts create her results for a little while now. And this thought, which is so funny, I could do this with my eyes closed. For her, you pretty much say with rolled eyes. With a little sass in your voice.
I
really wanted to point this out because I thought, you know, the feeling cocky, complacent comes to mind as well. Mm-hmm. And when you feel complacent, you pretty much take your foot off the gas. You're like, I got this, right? And you kind of just let the basics take a pause, right? Which is what you did in your action line.
Yeah. I think one of the other things, the excuses that I also use in that situation, in the circumstances, well, I'm still like, well, focus on the one thing. And my one thing is not eating. I still make a plan. I still drink my water. I got my activity in, even though it's not a basic. Well, you know, I just didn't, you know, follow the plan every time. I mean, it wasn't like a zero follow. So I start kind of, I mean, that's why I feel like I'm not consistent, right? Because I think perfect analogy. I take a foot off the gas here, but at the same time, I'm trying to say, but if you focus on the one thing and not all the 5 things that your perfectionist wants to focus on,
right,
you still should see results. And I think that's where I'm getting a little tripped up from a thought work perspective is how do I recover as a perfectionist, focus on the one thing. To me, it's the night thing is I have proof that if I focus on my night eating, and it doesn't mean zero. It just means because my recovery worksheets from the 3 months where I was consistently losing weight when I was focusing on the night eating in the summer, when I used to have 14, 15, it went from like under double digits, 9, 8. And then when I started gaining again, you know, it went again. I had 14, 11 in December and 14 in November.
Okay. So the first thing you have to do is stop calling yourself a perfectionist. You're not. No one. None of us is perfect. Okay. So you have to stop labeling yourself that way because it just tells your brain that it's all or nothing. If you're not nailing all of these things, you may as well just not try. Is what you're telling your brain when you say, I'm a perfectionist. Believe me. Okay. Take this one, you know, to heart from this girl.
I know. You have same.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you have evidence that working on your nighttime eating helps the rest of these things kind of fall into line, why aren't you just going back to saying, all right, I'm going to work on this nighttime eating? And in doing so, you create a plan that works for you. Mm-hmm. You're also paying attention to your hunger scale, at least at nighttime, because you're listening to urges and saying that's emotional hunger, that's a habit, that's not physical hunger. You're probably drinking some water.
Right? That I'm doing with my eyes closed. That's for sure.
so you have the water in your sleep, right?
My sleep was not where it needed to be for sure. Is it because
you're eating at night?
No, because I just binge on watching TV and I prioritize TV over my sleep. And I did in November a lot. And November was the worst. Not December. I just did my stats. I went from 70 to 80 from November to December in my sleep. So I'm definitely refocused on that. I also had a lot of travel Wednesday, November and December for work. When I travel for work, I just don't get the sleep that I need.
So you already have data that shows you when you work on your nighttime eating, your weight goes down.
Correct.
And you have data that when you don't work on your nighttime eating, that your weight goes up. Right?
Correct.
And that all your other basics tend to fall in line with what you're doing with your nighttime eating. Okay? So if you were coaching me and I said, you know what, Ala, I don't know what to do. My foot's off the gas. I'm not being consistent. And I were to tell you all these things, what would you tell me to do?
Focus on your nighttime eating.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's for you. That's what creates the balance in all the other things. If you really, really look at your nighttime eating. So tell me what your nighttime, are we talking about a snack at night? Are we talking about binging at night? Are we talking about eating when you're sleeping? What are we talking about?
No, not eating when I'm sleeping. Okay. The driver for it is, you know, it's my rest relaxation time. I watch TV. I get up, I go to the kitchen, I stand at the kitchen counter and I start eating small things. So in other words, I wouldn't grab a bag of chips and just eat the whole bag. So I'll have a couple of chips. And then my mind starts with, well, you already have to do a discovery worksheet. So let's have a couple of chocolates now. And then you're like, well, you also haven't had your salami sandwich because you've been focusing on your good, better, best because you want to lose weight. Like I go before I would never even be aware of it. Right. So this is the work I've done with PNP.
So let's
see. It's like mini meals all within like, I would say 30 minutes. And I would just be standing in the kitchen eating and then I'm done.
When you hear that voice that says, well, you know, you've already had some chips. We might as well have a salami sandwich. Mm-hmm. How do you answer yourself?
Sometimes I say, well, it's not on your plan. And sometimes I say, well, I have to do it because I do my discovery worksheets because.
Okay. What if you, I would love this. Here's your assignment. You got homework, girl.
I want
you to write a dialogue. I want you to write a story. you're going to have urge voice and logical voice. Okay. You can name them. Do you have a name already for that urge voice?
The urge voice? Maleficent.
Maleficent. Okay. So you're going to have Maleficent.
She's my alter ego.
Right? Yes.
Yes.
You're going to have, I'll spell this wrong. Maleficent.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's wrong. Let's have some chips. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Olive. It's not on your plan.
Right.
M-A. I want you to write out a whole dialogue.
Okay.
Okay? Like a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my private clients is doing this, and it's hilarious because she's an attorney, so she's got both voices arguing with each other. And she's having the most fun with that little exercise. And what it does is it helps you prepare your answers to this maleficent, I won't say it, maleficent, mm-hmm. I can't say it. It's that voice, the urge voice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll start having this dialogue while you're standing at the counter and you'll think of
it. Yeah. And I think also the big, and I'm not going to describe myself as perfectionist because none of us are, mm-hmm. but it's literally like once I make the decision to get up and go to the kitchen and the counter. Mm-hmm. And even then I still, once I'm in the kitchen and it's all about that space, you know, like one that I'm not there, I would never go and get something and go sit on the couch and eat it in front of the TV. That's not my thing. That's not my pattern, right? My habit is the standing in the dark alone mm-hmm. because people are, you know, everybody's upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I've been very honest with my family this year. Mm-hmm. You know, this used to be a very sneaky, dark, mm-hmm. not to dramatize it, but this was my thing, right? Like the stuff I hid from the world, you know? But, you know, people know I do this now. Like I say it, I do it. So that was a big thing for me. And then once I'm there, I still have this thought, the morsel of food in my mouth, I'm already like, it's too late. I could not pull myself back from, well, you're going to have to do discovery worksheet. But and in that moment, I still use it as a punishment, I think.
Right.
Like, well, you're going to get punished by your discovery worksheet.
But you can pull yourself back. If you tell yourself you can't, you never will. But you can, and you have before pulled yourself back,
I have.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
So don't say, I can't pull myself back, you know, and the discovery worksheet is not punishment.
Yes.
It's just documentation.
Right, it's just data.
It's just data.
It's just data.
This is how I'm going to look for my pattern. I really think preparing your answers ahead of time to that voice is going to help you a lot. And I, you know, it's almost like you have a devil on one shoulder, angel on the mm-hmm. other dialogue going on. And the more you start to really nurture that conversation, the harder it's going to be to move to the salami sandwich after the chips.
Yeah.
Or even get off the couch to go downstairs.
Yeah, because with the pattern, the data, when the 3 months that I was successful, right, mm-hmm. at minimizing the night eating, mm-hmm. was I didn't even get off the couch. This conversation was taking place on the couch. And it was different because nothing was in my mouth yet.
Yeah.
It was more about, okay, this is just an urge, you know, mm-hmm. just say no. You're not mm-hmm. a two-year-old. You could have it tomorrow. Sometimes I would even like reach over and now I leave my planner right by me on the coffee table mm-hmm. all night. I may even have my plan done at 6 p.m. But mm-hmm. at 8, if I have those urges and I'm successful to tell myself, no, mm-hmm. you're not going to have it. Like, you're a grown-ass woman. You don't need it. You're not minus two. We don't need to have it. I may even go and change my plan for next day and say, okay, you can have it tomorrow. You can mm-hmm. wait, right?
Yeah.
I'm very successful there. And I think that was the big first step for me. Because before, I didn't even know, like, you know, none of this conversation was taking place. Now this is kind of phase two for me to say, okay, now when you're at that, your place, mm-hmm. work on, you know, maybe not stop it earlier or not doing it at all. Yeah. Like turn around and leave the kitchen.
I want you to see success in stopping it earlier too.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Because for a perfectionist, air quotes, never getting off the couch is success because you never went to the kitchen.
Right.
But stopping it, you know, instead of going, well, you know, having your effort moment, right? And just eating all the things and then going back upstairs, stopping it and saying, okay, I'm stopping and I'm seeing this as a success because I'm stopping and not giving in because I've blown the plan. That's mm-hmm. also success. Can you see success in that as well? That's probably bigger success. Stopping it while it's happening rather than avoiding it to begin with. I mean, equally as big success for you, but for someone who identifies as it's either all the way on plan or all the way off plan, when you go a little bit off plan and you catch yourself and you get back on plan, there's a lot of success in that as well. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. So go write your dialogue. I think that would be super funny.
You know, I'll be posting in the tribe.
Well, you should. You should, because
another problem by me.
I wish I could remember who it was, but there was a girl in the tribe, I don't know, several months ago who did that. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was the whole conversation back and forth.
Yes.
It was hilarious. It was hysterical. But it was so true, too, because that's actually the stuff that goes on in our brains. And once we realize it and see it as you know, as just a bunch of thoughts, then we can look at it with a, you know, with a little bit different perspective.
Yeah. And one thing I just want to say, because we have so many new people on the, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. on the call today and joining the mm-hmm. tribe, is when I got coached by Corinne back on July 15th or whatever, right after mm-hmm. our birthdays on this, I still watch that call. And I, you know, and we talked about this before too. And I'm like, this is the difference of today getting coached on night eating mm-hmm. and the calmness that I feel about it and reflecting on it and kind of the progress of it versus then I was saying food controls me. This has been, you know, this dirty little secret. Something's wrong with me. My brain, my best line that call was, my idiot brain, it must be the stupidest of everybody's idiot brains because oh my of goodness. The stuff that I get in my head.
She didn't coach you know? That at all, did she?
Oh, no. She went off. She went off.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, as I was reflecting, you know, just doing all my yearly assessments and everything the last couple of days, and I was just, you know, mind-boggled by the fact that this is really the, I can't measure the amount of my own BS I lost, yeah. right? And yeah. and this is the calmness that I could sustain for the rest of my life because we're always going to have something to work on. And I could never say that to you before, ever.
And it's okay that we have something to work on. It just yes. means we're trying to better ourselves every single day. And there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, it feels good to look for something to get better at every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So. All right.
Well, thank you so much. Happy New Year.
You too. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So I saw somebody come up and say the newbies need instruction on the buttons. I gave that real quick at the very beginning, but I'll go over it really quick again. Seems like you guys have, I don't remember if it's two or three buttons. One of them is Q&A. Only I see the Q&A. If you put something in there, I'll try to get to it at the end of the call. It pretty much depends on how many people want coaching tonight. There are three. I remember the third one. There's also the chat. That's you guys talking amongst yourselves. Make sure you have it set for all panelists and attendees, okay? And that way everyone can see what you're saying. If you have it set at all panelists, only I can see. And sometimes I don't check the chat if it's very busy. The other thing is, if you want to come on screen, then you raise your hand. And I pick you all in the order that hands are raised. Okay? So I hope that helps. Jessica, you're next. Make sure if your hand is raised that you really want to talk to me, too. Sometimes.
Okay. Can you see me?
Yes. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep. You got
okay,
it.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So, Kathy, you coached me on March 16th.
About
wow. my sister.
Okay.
I have not been coached since, but it really helped me a lot.
Okay.
Basically, you coached me about my sister, my feelings, what kind of relationship I wanted to have with her because she's just kind of just freaking awful anyways. So you really helped me because she was all of a sudden getting married to this random guy.
Okay.
And you helped me.
I remember that.
Yeah. Keeping pregnancy secrets, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah.
So the wedding was in May. Mm-hmm. I did go to the wedding mm-hmm. and what I'm needing to be coached about kind of started from there.
Okay.
I need some help with my thoughts about stuff, my feelings. I've been doing really good. Since your coaching call in March, you know, I've kind of been treating my sister like a coworker. Kind of strings kind of detached and I'm like, she's just there, but it's the only way I'm going to see my baby niece, you know, kind of just making through with that. And to be honest, her now husband, I kind of just ignore because the day of the wedding and on, he has ignored me completely. He has never spoken to me. He refuses to speak to me. I haven't seen him much this whole year until now the holidays have come, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, and I went in with my plan, you know, like Corinne had said in one of her calls, you know, go in with the plan, who you're going to talk to, what you're going to say, did that. My plan was I would say hello and goodbye. And that's all I had a plan to do. I was going to focus on the other family members that I really wanted to see and my kids, my niece, and that's my plan. And my husband's like, what's your plan? I'm like, that's what it is. I'm like, all right. And I've listened to that coaching call that you gave me many times, even with my husband and he, you know, just to help me feel better and stuff. But Christmas happened at my mom's house and, it was not good. a lot of stuff down went down. And honestly, with my mother about all of this, that is what happened. And it hurts me so bad because my mother has ghosted me since Christmas Day. I even asked her, like, because right away in the beginning when we all arrived for Christmas together with my sister and her husband or whatever and baby and my grandparents and everything, it was fine. Just like Thanksgiving, everything, I did the same thing. I acted the same, everything. I didn't do anything different. And right away, my mother, I could just, you know how someone and they get upset, but they won't say, and they start slamming stuff in the kitchen and cabinets and like, I'm fine. And they act all angry the whole time. That's what my mother was doing on Christmas morning, you know, with everyone. And I'm like, what is going on? And she was short with me when we left. It was really awkward. I just had a feeling something was just off. I didn't eat the whole day. I was something in my stomach. I did not turn to food this holiday. I'm proud of myself. But all these feelings I'm feeling a lot of, and my mother didn't call me for a couple days after Christmas. I finally called her and she told me that I ruined her Christmas, that she doesn't understand what my problem is, that I need to learn to get over things and my sister's my sister and I need to get along and all this stuff. And I know these are her opinions and but it still hurts really bad because I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything negative or mean. I didn't throw any glances. I didn't act any different than I did on Thanksgiving, where my mother praised me and thought it was the best holiday ever. So it's very hurtful. And I know maybe these are her thoughts, but it still hurts so bad because I have this person, and she said that that now her and my father refuse to host any gatherings or holidays. And it's almost like manipulative because she has said this before. If she does, people don't get along or do what she wants them to do, she like throws this out there and it's just not nice, but it still hurts so bad where you have saying, so you know, someone saying you ruined their whole Christmas. They refuse to have holidays because of you, cause you can't get along with people. And I'm sorry. I didn't say any negative things to anyone. He stayed away from me on the opposite end of the room. He wouldn't even come near me. It's whatever. I mean, that's fine. He doesn't have to kiss my ass. I'm not going to do the same to him. I don't want to come across as a fake person and just pretend. That's not who I am. And I feel like she's completely punishing me for it. And then I got all these weird passive aggressive texts last night from my mother, my grandmother, and my sister on like a group text thing saying all these things. And they were saying all of this stuff, saying like, oh, well, you know, forgiveness is the best way, yada, yada. Like all these little remarks that are very uncharacteristic of them. And I think I was just going to explode. Like, I just don't know what to do. And my accountability group said, just go down a coaching call and see what they can do to help you. Cause it's just, I'm not really turning to food, but it just hurts.
Well, and I just, that's, you know, good for you for not turning to food. And that's, you know, that's, you always get an attaboy for that. Okay. That's always good because you're feeling the feelings. You're about to cry. You're feeling it all.
The feelings are sucky.
Yeah. Well, mom said all these things. You told me everything mom said, right? Yeah. So I didn't write them all down, but
yeah, but
that's okay.
A lot.
And you said the feeling is hurt so bad, mm-hmm. right? Did mom saying those things hurt you?
No. She never said no. She didn't say it hurts me. It felt like on the one discussion I had with her, she was completely dismissing me when I was trying to explain to her my feelings.
You feel hurt and dismissed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Is that because of what your mom said?
That
all the things she said.
I'm trying to pour my heart out to her on the phone, and I hear her in the background,
okay.
folding laundry and doing dishes.
This is a trick question.
Okay.
What comes between the circumstance and the feeling?
The thought.
Right. The thought. So your mom could have said, Jessica, you're the most beautiful thing in the world. Or she could have said, Jessica, this was a terrible holiday. You ruined my Christmas. Still goes in the C line. You have a thought about what she said that causes your hurt and makes you feel dismissed. Okay.
Yeah.
So if she had said, you're the most beautiful girl in the world, you would think what?
Like, oh, thanks. Like,
yeah.
Like, wow.
My mom loves me. Really? Right? What is the thought about what she said? That are these things that has, why do you feel hurt? That's how you can find the thought. For all of you newbies who are looking at this model going, there's that crazy language again. The feeling is, I put two feelings in here. That's really, that's really wrong. You should only use one feeling.
Okay.
But what I wanted to do was write down both that I heard so that you could tell me which one is the most prevalent. Which one, hurt or dismissed?
Probably hurt.
Okay. So we're going to work on hurt. Okay. If you want to figure out what the thought is, you ask yourself, why do I feel hurt about what she said? Answer that question. Why do you feel hurt about it?
Just start talking.
I'll find it.
I feel hurt because once again, she's just always my sister's cheerleader out of all the stuff my sister has just really done, all the lying and just so much lying. And I just feel hurt because I just feel she's not listening to me. I just feel like she's dismissing my feelings and has all these expectations. Like, you need to get along with your sister. She keeps telling me, you broke our family. Our family's broken. I'm like, it's not broken. No one's died. There's no feuds. Not like we're living cross countries and refuse to speak. We're not broken. And I try to explain to her. I'm just like, my sister and I are very opposite people. So we're not getting along perfectly right now. We're sisters. We are not 5 years old. You cannot make us get along. And I just try to explain that. And I try, of course, she's not in PNP. I know that. And I told her, like, my relationship with my sister is separate from me and my parents. So why does it have to be a bigger deal? I feel like my mother is making a massive Mount Everest out of this little molehill that I just need to work on for myself that has to do with me and my now brother-in-law.
Okay.
And I feel like she's getting involved completely and making a big deal, and now it's like bleeding into the rest of the family. And
I just did like the best verbal thought download I've ever heard in my life. I couldn't keep up with all the thoughts. I tried to write them down as you were saying them, but so I've got, she's always my sister's cheerleader. This one was something you said earlier. She's not listening to me. She's dismissing my feelings. You can't make us get along, and she's making this a massive Mount Everest.
She is.
Which is the most painful thought? I'm going to bet it's this one. She's dismissing my feelings.
I'm the not listening and dismissing.
Okay.
Does that a lot.
She's not listening to me and dismissing my feelings and dismisses my feelings. All right. Now the next question is that a thought or is that a fact?
Well, I guess it's a thought. Ask everyone. I get it.
Uh-huh.
It's a thought, but it's a very strong thought / like feeling.
But it's a belief for you, which makes it your truth. It's a thought, but it makes it your truth because this is how you perceive what your mother said and did on Christmas.
Yeah.
This is what you believe. She doesn't listen to me and she dismisses my feelings. And I'm hurt
about that. Yeah. I think also because things have happened and that's exactly how I feel many other times there's been conflict. Okay.
If I were at your house Christmas morning, would I agree with this 100% of the time?
Not Christmas morning.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Mom said all this stuff on Christmas morning.
Well, when she finally talked to answer my phone call, it was like 2 days later. We talked about Christmas and that's when.
Okay.
If you were on the phone with me, maybe you, I kind of think maybe someone would.
You kind of think maybe someone would. This is not a 100% absolute all the time thing that happens.
It's hard because I guess I try to be a more calm, logical thinker. Mm-hmm. And my mother is very, like high emotion, irate, like flies off the handle, and we're very opposite. So it already is hard to communicate. And I swear to God, I was sad.
So many thoughts about your mother. It's hard to communicate. She doesn't listen to me. She's punishing me. She's dismissing my feelings.
Well, yes.
Is that, yes. I mean, do you, seriously, but let's work this model, because I want you to see what result you're creating here. Okay. So when you feel hurt with this thought that she's not listening to you and dismissing your feelings, what do you do or don't do?
I just feel sick inside.
And it's feeling. How about the action?
Cry.
Do you withdraw?
Yeah.
Do you fight back? Do you
withdraw?
Okay.
Maybe a little anger, lots of feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cry, withdraw.
Is there any negative self-talk? Do you talk badly to yourself, or do you justify?
No, I just question everything. It's like, why is this happening? I just question. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that's a really good place to look up on your action line. What kind of thoughts are going on in your head? Are you questioning yourself? Are you beating yourself up? Are you fighting back? You know, all those kinds of things. So when you do these things, cry, withdraw, question everything, what do you think the result line is?
Nothing. I don't know. Stagnant.
You're also not listening to her side.
That lady.
You're dismissing her as well. There's two sides to every relationship, right? You're responsible for your side. You're not responsible for her side. If this is how you want to show up, by not listening and dismissing her, you're doing everything right.
But I listened to what she had to say when she told me all those things. I don't have to agree with them, but I mean, she told me all these things. I'm like, that's great, but that's not how.
Did you listen with defensiveness or did you listen with compassion? If you had all these concerns about, if you were bringing all these concerns like she brought them to you, would you want someone to come back at you and go, oh, but no, mom, but mom, 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 you know, you're just not mom, mom, mom. Or would you want, or would you want them to say, or would you say, you know, I see what you're saying. Let me think about that. Let me work on that. There's a way to show up in a relationship that brings either fight, dismissal, or compassion. And that's what you have to choose. You have to choose what your result line is. If you're happy with this, you know, you really didn't listen to her side of the story if you fought back. And you sort of dismissed her side of the story as well if you fought back, right?
I did.
If that's how you want to show up, if you want to show, and I'm not judging you.
Yeah.
I'm saying, no, if this is what you want to do. If you want to show up saying, you're wrong, mom. This is not, you're seeing it all wrong. Then you did everything exactly like you should have. But if you want to have a relationship with your mother that's built more on compassion than justifications, then you're going to have to change this thought about what she said.
Mm.
Okay. You're going to have to look at this, what she said, with a different set of eyes.
Okay. Cause I felt like I did listen to her when she was talking to me. And it's fine. I even told her, like, that's, you know, what she believes about all the stuff with my sister and stuff. I'm like, that's fine. It's her. She's like, well, forgiveness. I'm like, but that's great. That's you. And forgiveness is hard. And if she chooses to forgive and do all these things, that's fine. But not everyone's going to fall in line. And I guess I just tried to explain that to her. I wasn't trying to argue with her. I was just trying to more explain why I have these feelings and why her pushing me isn't going to just automatically make it better. So I don't think I was fighting her. I was really trying hard to listen to her. You know, if she want, I don't know how to explain it to you, Kathy. I really did try hard. I wasn't fighting with her on the phone. She just kept asking me why this and this. And I was trying to just explain how my feelings about it because of I gave her some examples. So I like to think I was trying to listen to my mom. I mean, I understand. I get her side of things.
Do you get her side of things? Do you really?
I like to think I do.
Then why is this so hurtful here? If you get
because
her side
she's of things? Because you know the people that you love the most, they can hurt you the worst sometimes by what their words even because
no
it hurts
it hurts you with their words.
The feelings or what they
thought about their words that hurts you. Okay. She should be saying something else. She should be thinking something else. She doesn't agree with me. She's dismissing me. This is where you're getting stuck. You think she can hurt you with her words.
Well, wait a minute. I don't understand. But yes, when someone says that stuff, it does not make you feel good. Like you have this earned her something. You know.
Could totally say, my mom is off her rocker and doesn't know what she's talking about when she says those words. Seriously.
Okay.
If you had that thought, the feeling would be ambivalent. Or maybe pity. I don't know. Because your mom's off her rocker. Do you see what I'm saying? You tell me she says all that stuff.
Yeah.
And my thought is, her mom's hurting. Not, she's not listening to Jessica. Everybody, okay. If we were to poll all the people on this call, everyone would have a different thought about what your mom said.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay, do you see what I'm saying? So the hurt that you're feeling is caused by what you're thinking about her thought. If I did my model, Jessica's mom said, Christmas was ruined. My thought would be her mom's hurting. I mean, it wouldn't be Jessica's a terrible person or Jessica's mom is, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. So it's really, really probably the most important thing in this call for you to see is that you have a thought about what she said that's causing your feeling. You could have totally listened to everything she said and went, dang, she's right. And you could have had that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have led to acceptance or forgiveness or something else. But your thought was, she's not listening to me. And that's what led to the hurt. Do you see the difference? And I know what I'm really doing is knocking on the door here of your belief system going, look, you know, you have a belief system here and I want you to see it. I don't want you to believe any thought other than this one. I just want you to see that this one is a thought.
Okay.
Because you have to see that this is a thought before you can go to work on repairing the relationship.
Okay.
You thought you were going to get coaching about how to deal with a difficult mother, didn't you?
Well, no, I just need help with like dealing with,
you always stay in with your thoughts. You always, a relationship is all about how you show up. Okay. It's always you define the relationship based on what you bring to the relationship.
It's just so hard because everything besides the normal, whatever, you know, you have your little life's in a snowball. Mine's gone by pretty fine, like, you know, with all my relationships. But then when my sister adds in, it's like, get shaken up. It's just gets all like chaotic.
Have you done the Mastering Relationships course?
Yes, a little while ago. I want you to do it again.
I want you to do it twice. I want you to do it once with your mom and once with your sister.
I don't like my sister.
Here's the thing.
I know.
Look here.
I know.
Right? We talked about
her and no.
Right? What's her name?
I don't really like her. And you let me have the, she is hard to love.
What's her name?
Hard to love her. Sarah. What's her name?
Sarah.
Sorry, guy. It's a long history.
How do you want, what kind of relationship do you want with Sarah? Just define it for me.
Well, you never
used the word detached earlier.
I treat her. Cause I was just sick. You helped me. I kind of just started treating her like some random ass coworker.
Okay.
That you don't really know very well, but you have to see here and there. And that's just how I had it. I had a disconnect from her. She will never be my friend. And we just have never been that way. And, that's how, for my own sanity, that's how I kind of treated her. And I have still to this day, just so okay. I'm cordial to her so I can see my niece, and
that's fine. Right.
That's all. Yeah.
So to create this type of relationship, what do you have to do?
See her once in a while.
Or not do, right?
Yeah.
See her once in a while. Anything else?
Do I have to do anything?
No. I mean, no.
I mean, I guess that's it, because I have to see her at family function.
See her once in a while. All right.
Yeah, I see her at the family function.
When you see her once in a while, what's the feeling? Is that where detached comes in?
Yeah.
Guarded?
Yeah, I feel detached. And I don't want to get really closer, because every time I have, she hurts me. And I'm just, I feel, of course, this feeling. But last year, when she kept her pregnancy a secret from my whole family and everything for many months, she broke me. She broke the last of anything I had to have a really good relationship with her. That was the mountain of lies I couldn't take anymore. After years and years of lying and bad boyfriends, I'm just kind of done. I'm tired of waiting for the other ball to drop with her. So I had to detach a little. I had to detach for my own kids and for me.
And that's your choice, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me the thought that creates detached.
I'm just tired of being hurt.
I'm tired of being hurt.
I'm tired of being hurt, and she's a bad role model for my kids. And she acts.
I don't think that creates detached.
Hmm.
She's a bad role model for my kids. Creates detached.
Well, it doesn't. No. Well, she kind of, yeah. Well, no, she ruined. Yeah.
Okay. You need to do lots of thought downloads about your sister, because I want you to see all the thoughts you had. You said every time I get close to her, she hurts me.
That's
a thought. Also, that's a thought.
It's a thought.
It's a thought.
Okay.
See, your
it's question, a historical thought.
every single time in your life you have gotten close to her, she's hurt you. Every single time, 100%.
I'm pretty sure.
Right. All right, I'll give it to you then.
I hate to say that. It's sad.
My point in doing this model is to show you that you defined this relationship and you're okay with it this way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can do this same defining with your relationship with your mother. You just decide what the result needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
It can be random ass coworker and detached, or it can be something different.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So your work is to do the Mastering Relationships course on your mom.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And decide what you want the relationship to look like. Because here's the thing. Let's say you pick love. You want to love her, and she's still hurt. That doesn't mean you can't show up every single time with her with love.
Okay.
Okay. You show up how you choose to show up every single time with her.
Okay. Even if she doesn't respond to.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
You get that choice.
Okay.
Okay. If you show up with hurt, just know you've chosen to show up with hurt.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm dead serious here. You have all the control over how you show up in this relationship with your mother. You have no control over how she shows up. She could call you tomorrow and say, Jessica, I just love you, girl. Everything's great.
Yeah. She's emotional. Would maybe happen. With this emotional lady. I don't know.
But I mean, seriously, you have no control over how she could call you up and cuss you out. You have no control over how she shows up. You have every bit of control over how you show up. Every single bit.
Yeah.
And that's the decision that you get to make when it comes to a relationship with anybody in your life.
That's a big workload. Because that's something that does not change overnight, does it? That's a daily.
No, it's work.
That's a daily
work. Right. That's why I sent you to that course. You have to wrap your brain around the fact that you have the responsibility here. You can't blame your mom for hurting you anymore.
Yeah.
Now you know you have a thought about what she says. All of a sudden, now you know you're hurting yourself with your thoughts about what she said. That in itself is mind-blowing. And then I just layered on, and guess what? You also have the responsibility for how you want to show up in that relationship.
Yeah.
Can you tell I've been doing a lot of studying on relationships?
Yes.
I've got this big weekend coming up where I'm doing all the relationship coaching I can do.
I saw that. That's totally something that I need, but I just cannot do. So, but yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's going to be
good.
Thank
you, Kathy.
It's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. It's hard.
Do the course and come back and see me, and I'll be back in 2 weeks and then 2 weeks after that and tell me what you learned. However long it takes you to do the course, either come back in 2 weeks or 4 weeks and tell me what you learned.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kathy.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye. Bye.
All right. I have Linda, then I have Jane. Linda,
unmute.
There. Oh, here you come.
Start video.
There.
Okay.
There you are.
I'm a newbie. So.
Like brand new?
Yeah, I joined on December 29th.
Welcome. Look at you getting on a call already.
I know, and I'm really nervous, so bear with me.
Look, I'm the easy one. You can tell by how I just took care of Sarah, right?
So I went through, I did the orientation, I did the planner course, I did I'm through phase one.
Okay.
And I want to see if I'm on the right course. I'm a data girl. So
yeah, I love it.
I did a thought download, and I did the intentional model and an intentional model. And I just want to, I'm noticing, so I'm finding your CFA, whatever it is.
CTFAR, yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what my thought download was a little bit, I went I started listening to your podcast halfway through last year. Mm-hmm. I'm down 103 pounds.
What? From the podcast?
Well,
I'm listening to the podcast. I
joined Weight Watchers in January.
Yes.
And now I'm trying to do what Corinne said to do in her video, is get rid of all your bullshit diet mentality, which is what I've been trying to do. Mm-hmm. But I see it like sneaking in. Mm-hmm. So this was my thought download. I just kind of randomly did what it said. Looked up some coaching calls to listen to. Around the unwanted attention. I'm still trying to get out of my points mentality. I have 40 pounds left to lose. Points have worked, but I did it with the struggle bus. I had a thought, I have weekly points and activity points, so I can just eat that. So I'm trying to get out of that mentality. Mm-hmm. So what I did for the unattentional model was, my C was, I have 40 pounds to lose.
Perfect.
Get to my goal. My thought is, I can't do this without tracking points.
Okay.
Which disappoints me, that it created a feeling, because I don't want to do that the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. My action is, you know, I have an urge to look at my Weight Watchers app and want to use it. And I'm trying not to do that. And then my result would be, if I did it that way, I'll never be able to not always think about the points. Or I can't eat that food because that's too many points. I can't do that food because that's too many points. So that was my unintentional model.
All right, let's take a look at this first. So I'm going to run through the model again. Circumstance is the fact. It's indisputable. 100% of the people would agree. 40 pounds to lose is fine. Okay. I can't do this without points. One sentence. Perfect. Declarative. No, it's a sentence, not a question. And it's definitely a thought, right? And you recognize that that's a thought. That thought creates disappointment. So your feelings line always has one word and it's always a feeling. When you feel things, you do or don't do something. So your action line here is a little bit off. Your action line says you have an urge to look at the app. Okay? So let's think about this for a minute. When you're disappointed, what do you, because you can't do this without points, what do you do or not do?
Well, I have the action to look at the app, but I want to track what I ate. So okay. That's my
action. So your action, when you're disappointed,
feeling, right?
When you're disappointed, you look at the app?
Yeah.
Okay. And track food?
Yeah.
And you basically go back to your
old diet
rules. Okay. So your result actually is that you never prove to yourself that you can do it without the points. Because you can probably do it without the points. You can probably lose you can probably lose the weight with the points, the last 40 pounds. You're just not going to learn how to do the thought work along with it. And you're not going to learn how to keep that weight off.
Drawback in there. No thought work whatever. Right. It was just a struggle bus along the way. And because I'm a data girl, I'm like, oh, I can data.
have you gotten the planner yet?
Yeah, I have. And I have. I've done all my shit.
You like data? You need to pull this. I want you to pull this one too.
The monthly thing,
the habit tracker.
I've been starting to do the habit tracking.
Let me show you what I did with my habit tracker. You're going to be so impressed with me. I went ahead and put the days in there. Can you see that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I went ahead. So I'll know that on January 1st, it's already crossed off that I did my plan.
Yeah. Right? See, that's. I put my dates above the little circle.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay. So if you like the data, on January 31st, when you calculate the percentage of time you completed those habits, you're going to be like, oh, this is so good, such good data. All right, but back to this. So this model is good now, okay? Because the result is you never prove to yourself that you can do it without Weight Watchers, okay? So tell me what your intentional model is.
Well, my intentional model, I started out with the same thing. I have 40 pounds left to lose. Mm-hmm. And then my thought was, I can do this without tracking or measuring.
Okay.
And that made me feel good. And the action was that I'm learning to trust myself.
All right. So feeling. Can we do something better than good?
Being proud?
Proud. Okay. You always want to get nice and specific with that feeling because the feeling, like we said, drives the actions. So what did you say your action was?
It causes me to trust myself when I do my...
Trust is a feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're proud because you know you can, or you're thinking you can do this without tracking or measurable, not tracking or measuring. What do you think you're doing or not doing?
I'm not tracking and I'm not measuring.
Yeah. Not tracking or measuring. What are you doing?
I'm doing the 24-hour plan and I'm eating.
Right. Is it safe to say the basics?
Yes. I'm drinking my water like a fish.
Are you working on your hunger scale? Are you working on understanding your hunger scale?
I am working on that, and I'm having a little confusion there because I don't really get hungry. I eat when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like this morning, I got up, I drank my bowl of coffee, I went for a 4-mile walk, and I wasn't hungry. So I didn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought goes in my head, wow, how come I'm not hungry?
Right.
What am I doing? Because I have in the past been able to fast for 10 days straight and it not bother me. And I'm, you know, just drinking water and that's about it. And that's one of the.
But how much did you weigh when you fasted for 10 days, just drinking water?
Well, I was at 275. I started out at 275.
Your body was feeding itself.
Yeah.
That's why you could fast.
I feed on for sure.
So that's essentially what it's doing anytime. Everybody fasts. Okay. If you go to bed at night and you go to sleep, you've got an 8-hour fast going on, right? I mean, if you think about it. Yeah. So have you, since you started PMP, have you felt hunger at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so you can get hungry. What does hunger feel like?
My stomach feels empty.
Mm-hmm.
I let it go longer because I wanted to see, well, how long can I actually go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm used to, like, when I fasted before, okay, my stomach's going to growl. So it did growl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ate.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of felt hungry afterward, but I'm having a problem dialing in the plus two.
Yeah.
I keep looking at the chart and the thing that's on the training. I'm like, am I that? I don't know. Could I be?
Just keep, the best advice I can give you is to just keep being super curious about it.
Okay? Yeah. And,
remember.
And I left some behind. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Just remember too, that it takes 10 or 15 minutes for the food that you swallow to hit your stomach and for that signal to go back up to your brain that you've had enough. So if you think after you're finished eating, I'm still hungry, give yourself 10 or 15 minutes because you might not really be, because that food is still traveling to your stomach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the result of this model was what?
I will be able to do this and lose 40 pounds.
What you just said. I will be able
to do this and lose 40 pounds.
So you're basically, by doing this stuff right here, you're giving yourself evidence that you'll be able to do this and lose your weight.
Okay.
Now, do you believe this thought? Is it starting to become a little bit more believable to you? More
yes.
Practice? Yeah. That's the important thing. This is called the intentional model because this is the one that we like and the one that we want and the one that the result you want to create. But sometimes the thought is a little bit out there.
Yeah.
But the more you practice the action line, the more you practice doing these things, the more evidence you create that the thought really can be true. So yeah, your models are great. Good job.
Well, you know, it was my first one and I'm like, am I doing this right? Because it seemed easy, but then I'm like, I don't know. So
mm-hmm. No, keep practicing. Here's the thing. The worst thing you can do with a model is not do it. It doesn't matter how hard it is or how bad you think it's not right. It's still, if you're doing it, you're still doing what you need to be doing. And anybody on this call that wants models looked at, you can either do it on these calls or you can put them in Ask Coaches as well.
Oh, okay.
Because the three of us, MJ most of the time now, but the three of us work Ask Coaches and we'll help you see, you know, any flaws in your model or we'll tell you it's a great model or whatever. Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Is that all you need?
Love the podcast. Yes.
I love right now. Podcast. We're actually podcasting some more tomorrow, so I'm excited.
Awesome.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Okay. Jane, you're next.
Just a second, Joe. No, no.
Hello.
Hi. thanks for taking me on tonight. So I'm a September baby. I have done a lot of work. I'm excited to be part of the tribe, but I feel like I'm a bit stuck. I actually canceled my subscription to the tribe today and then saw Corinne's video and basically broke down crying and wrote back, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake."
Yeah.
I hope that happens to more than just me.
I think what happens a lot of times is you guys get in your heads, "I just can't do this." Yeah, okay. That thought line, "I just can't do this."
Yeah.
It's just not working. It's just not me, whatever. And then you quit and then you get that video and you're like, "Oh, of course okay. I'm not supposed to be perfect. Of course this is the right place for me. What was I thinking?" Right?
Oh my God. It's so true.
Yeah.
I honestly think that kind of gets to the crux of the issue is, and the last three coaching calls have been very helpful for this too. I have in the past struggled with all or nothing thinking. It's not a new thing. And, I haven't lost any weight in the last 3 months, but I have been doing tracking and I have been doing thought work. So I do feel like I'm making progress and I'm at the point, where I feel like I'm stuck between what I think of as like the immature side of me that was at the beginning of the last couple of years, like in victim mode, but I never would have seen it that way. And now I fully accept that I'm responsible for things, but I look around at all the mess in my life and it's like looking at a messy bedroom. I don't know where to start and I'm completely overwhelmed. And I've stopped, like in the last month, I've basically, I don't like this phrase, but I've fallen off the wagon and basically left myself for dead.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be dramatic, obviously.
No, but thought line, "I've fallen off the wagon and left myself for dead." Wow.
Oh. That's
really an interesting way to explain overwhelm, because that's what happens. Overwhelm is paralyzing.
When it's completely paralyzing.
Overwhelmed, you can't see your way to the next step. That's when somebody needs to just give you a little push and say,
"Yeah,
Jane, if you'll just do this one thing, then if you're doing that one thing, then you're not overwhelmed anymore because you moved into action."
Exactly.
That's really, really how you solve overwhelm. And I'm so glad this came up because it's very common for this to happen, especially this time of year, right? Because you've got the Christmas holidays and the going back to school and the getting ready to go back to work. And, oh, by the way, I need to do a plan and all this kind of stuff. Your attention is divided over all these areas.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So, and then we throw the new No BS at you and the planner course. And, oh, by the way, if you haven't listened to orientation in a while, you should listen to that too, because that's what it does. Just do all the things, Jane. Right?
And then the problem?
You're going, "I've fallen off the wagon and I'm being left for dead."
Oh my God. Yeah.
So actually you did that first step already by getting on a coaching call.
Well, I need a lifeline.
Yeah.
Give yourself
a lifeline by getting.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So what do I do?
I feel right. So foolish. Like I know that it's the basics. I listen to the podcast and honestly, the thing that freaks me out is like, I know that my head is in the game when what you or Corinne are saying lands. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm disconnected when it just washes over me and nothing's landing. And that's where I'm at. Like I'm drinking water.
Okay.
I feel like I'm,
yeah, let's
I probably
do the basics.
Sleep.
Let's, yeah. Let's think about the basics for a minute.
Okay.
So we have a 24-hour plan. We have the hunger scale. We have the water and we have the sleep.
And sleep. Yeah.
Okay. So water is good?
Water's good. Sleep, I probably get at least as much as I need and maybe sometimes a little bit more.
Okay.
Hunger scale, let's say I'm at 60%. These days there's about one meal where I think, dang it, I knew I should have stopped and I didn't.
But you are aware of your hunger scale.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Okay. You guys don't see that as progress very often. But when you can look at yourself and say, well, that was a 4, then you're aware. Yeah. You're not ignoring it. You're not avoiding it. You're still aware of it. Okay?
That's true. That's true.
How about planning? How are you doing there?
Planning, I picked it up again. Like this month has been very patchy. November was good. I actually, I bought myself some stickers and I gave myself a sticker for every day that I assessed.
I love it.
Just, you know, you need the little push. And then December, I was on a business trip for 2 weeks and it was very stressful. And then it was the holidays and it's been very patchy. I would say maybe I've planned 25% of the time.
25%. Okay. So now we have data.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you should start?
I think with the planning.
I think you're right.
Okay.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's make tomorrow's plan.
Okay.
So tomorrow is January 2nd. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have breakfast?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are you going to have for breakfast?
Coffee and let's say pancakes.
Oh, girl after my own heart. I love pancakes.
Me too. It's been
just
a while.
About time for me to plan some pancakes again. All right.
Okay.
Anything else? Bacon, sausage, eggs, just pancakes?
Pancakes, fruit, maybe some bacon.
All right. Here's the beautiful thing about this. You get up and you have the pancakes and the fruit and the bacon made and all you want is the pancakes, you're fine. But if we had only planned pancakes and you, oh, wow, there's fruit and bacon too. I think I'll have some of that. All of a sudden you're off plan and you're probably going, see, I knew I couldn't do this.
It's so true. And I never want to plan for all the things that I want because I feel like I shouldn't have them. I'm still working on that realistic plan.
Realistic planning.
It's a new idea.
So you just identified why.
Yeah.
If you plan realistically, if you plan these things when you might have them, you're not off plan. And your brain sees that as success, as commitment.
Yeah. It's so true.
But when you plan just the pancakes and you have a strip of bacon too, your brain's going, see? No commitment.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't do this. And it's not true.
Right. You have to have that commitment piece. That commitment, that's the one in orientation that's so good. The video in orientation.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to this. Lunch?
Yeah. Lunch. God, I don't even know what's in the house right now. I haven't been doing the cooking. Let's see. I think I'll plan for a salad. Let's plan for a salad. I can make that happen.
Okay. Do you want to give yourself another option in case the lettuce is bad or something like that?
Okay.
Does your husband cook or?
I tend to do the cooking. It's just that we've had company for a few days and they're really good cooks. So sharing responsibility.
So we could put salad or whatever is fixed. Whatever fixed to +2.
And that's okay. Like I do that in my plan sometimes, but I feel like, is that a lack of foresight on my part or is that realistic planning?
You tell me.
I feel like it's okay.
You just said you have company in the house and they're doing most of the cooking. So unless you went outside right now and said, hey, what are y'all fixing for lunch tomorrow? You really don't know, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
but
true.
You
I don't.
Can make the best choice of whatever they fix and eat to your +2. So you can plan that, right?
Okay. So that is, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. That's also, guess what? Realistic.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Okay, good. That's okay. I think, there's too much overthinking happening for me. There's a lot of that. And I, like that does feel realistic to me. I would say probably 30% out of my week most of the time because my schedule is chaotic, but I know what to choose if I were just to say, okay, just make the best choice. You know that there's going to be food. It's okay. Okay.
Eventually, after doing this for a while, you might find another rhythm. But right now, mm-hmm. you have to meet yourself where you are in your life. And if it's chaos at your house and company, then this is the realistic plan for you, it sounds like.
Okay.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Are you judging this as not good enough? Or are you okay?
No, it's... Well, this is something else I need to work on. I think it's okay, but I don't trust myself. So it's nice to hear somebody else that I trust say that it's okay. I'd like to get to a place where I can say, no, I said it's okay. It's okay.
Well, here's the thing. Anytime you don't trust yourself with an answer, get and ask coaches. Is it okay for me to plan options for my lunch? What do you think MJ is going to say? Of course it is. Just stay, you know, just stick to whatever options you planned.
Okay.
And eat to your tea.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes we do overthink, and overthinking leads to overwhelm because of a sudden you have all these scenarios in your head and it's like this, it's like that jumbled up ball of computer cords on the backside.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And what you have to do is just sit in the floor and unplug them and pull them out and just lay them out. And then you're like, okay, now I can see that all I now need to I plan for lunch is a salad, if I can make that happen, or whatever they fix to my plus two.
Yeah.
And if they fix hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and you eat to plus two, you're going to say, see, I stuck to plan.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You going to have a snack?
Yes. I'll have 3 pieces of Christmas candy because I want them and it's hard to break off sugar cold turkey for me.
That was judgment. We're just going to put 3 pieces on the can because we think we might want them tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Dinner?
Pasta and salad and a glass of wine.
Beautiful. Wine. Dessert?
No, I think that's good. All right, 2 pieces of candy.
You can always say no tomorrow. I'm at my 2. True. I don't need any candy, but let's be realistic.
Okay. Okay. Jeez, now. I think that's the most realistic plan I've made this month.
Yeah. And look at you. You're smiling about it. You're like, I can do this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like you feel like this is on a scale, you know, Corinne always says, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're an 8 or better, then your plan's good. But if you're do you think 8 or better on this plan?
Easily, yeah.
All right. So you're going to get out your planner. You're going to write this in your planner.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're going to assess it tomorrow night, and you're going to write the next day's plan. Very realistically. Okay. And by tomorrow night, this call will be up, and you can listen to it again, and you can listen to my comments on your judgments about whether or not it's good enough. And you can create a realistic plan. That sound good?
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy.
Glad you're back.
Me too.
You okay?
Yeah, I feel better. Thank you. Okay.
This is the obvious next step for anyone who feels like they're stuck or overwhelmed, is you just get in there and you create a plan that is realistic and doable so that you can put your toe back on the field and know that you've got your own back.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Right.
You're very
Happy
welcome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Debbie Lurvy and then Nina. Saw that hand raised, Debbie. Are you coming?
I don't know how.
There you are.
Oh my gosh. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, I didn't know I raised my hand. So
you did. Okay. You seriously, you didn't know you raised your hand?
I didn't. No, it's, and I
this is totally supposed to happen.
It is supposed to happen.
That's hilarious. Are you sure you didn't know you raised your That's so funny that you didn't know you raised your hand. So seriously, do you want to be coached or do you want me to let you go?
No, I think being coached probably would be good. I did post that it's on my goals for 2020. So here I am.
There you are.
So what I have been struggling with the most, and since camp, and I know the first call said the same thing. We left camp feeling like we can do anything, and I've only got 20 pounds or whatever left. Mm-hmm. And you just leave on a high, and then I just let it all go. So not, I didn't let it all go because I've done my plan every single day. I've assessed. I have not done the habit tracker at all. Since I've been in the tribe, I need to get better about that and do it. But I have my recovery worksheet or discovery worksheets printed, and I was so proud of myself that I did one within 2 hours of having an off-plan eat. So that was an improvement for me. But I just feel, and I know it's feeling, I just everybody thinks that I have done so well, but I get all the, you're doing such a great job. You look so good. So I feel like, well, then maybe I should just stop, but that's not what I want to do. I don't want to stop. And I want to continue to lose weight.
Why do you think maybe I should just stop?
I think because I think, I'm in my head about the last 23 pounds. And, you know, I listened to the last 20 in the new No BS. And I know that it's no different than what I've lost already. I just have to change my thinking, change my portions, change my plus two and my two to two.
But those are all the action line. Those are all the things you think you need to do. Okay. You have this thought that, well, you know, if I look good, maybe I should just stop.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
How does that feel? Maybe I should stop.
It feels like I'm giving up.
Well, that's giving up is like a... Let's see if we can find a feeling. I'll give it to you. Giving up. Feels like I'm giving up. And when you feel like you're giving up, what do you do or don't do?
I'm not as committed to my goal as I have been.
So that's the feeling.
Okay.
Uncommitted or decommitted or not committed. Right?
Right.
Maybe I should stop. And then you start to feel like you're not committed anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel like you're committed anymore. What's the action line?
Not doing the work. Is that an action?
Yeah. Don't do work. What work do you not do? Don't plan?
No, because I plan and I assess. Okay.
Then what work do you not do?
I have the off-plan eats.
That's what we need to put up here.
Okay. I have off-plan eats.
Eat off-plan.
And the excuses. I have every excuse in the book for them.
What else? Do you overeat?
I think I do. I think if I were to be really true to my plus two, I think I am going over.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're steady, if you've been steady at this weight for a while now, mm-hmm. you're eating to maintain this weight. So right. if your goal is to lose, then you are overeating.
Okay.
That makes sense? That's just kind of logical there, right?
Right.
So when you're not committed, you eat off plan. You give in to excuses, you overeat, you're pretty much half-assing because you're doing it, right?
Right.
That's right. Kathy said ass. Kathy said ass twice on this call so far. And the result
exciting.
The result is you pretty much start to stop, right?
Yeah. I just stop.
Yeah. So when you were doing phase four of No BS, mm-hmm. did you listen to maintenance range?
I did not.
Okay. So you just listened, you've listened to part of it, you know, and how in order to get that last 20 off, you're mm-hmm. pretty much just do everything you've been doing. You just got to recalibrate a little bit. So how much weight have you lost total?
77.
All right. So you know then that as you lost weight, you had to recalibrate your hunger scale periodically. Mm. You know, that the amount of food it took to get you to satisfied lessened over time, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, and but I feel like it didn't strike, or it didn't seem as glaring of a reduction that I had to do that it seems that I'm going to have to do now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a big old thought.
Okay.
Why do you think you have to, why do you think it takes a bigger reduction now? What if it only takes 3 bites a meal?
Maybe that is it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, someone says you look great, maybe I should stop, is followed by, because this is going to be so hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on with you. This last 20 pounds, maybe I should just stop because I already look good and that's going to be hard.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I listen to Corinne's affirmations every morning and it's going to be ass, but I can do ass or whatever it is. But you know, it sticks in my head and I'm not.
What if it's not, that. What if it's, this is the currency I pay to lose 20 more pounds and that's okay.
Yeah.
If I really want to lose 20 more pounds, that's what you have to decide. How committed are you to the last 20?
Mm-hmm.
If you're really super committed to that last 20, regardless of what anybody else says,
yeah,
then you'll figure out how to get to the last 20. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if you're letting someone else telling you, you look good, give you a pass, then you're not committed to that last 20 pounds, to doing the work for the last 20 pounds. And I know you can do hard work. I know you can be determined and get the work done.
I can. I just need to believe that and not listen to everybody else and what.
Well, they're not telling you you can't do the last 20 pounds. They're just telling you you look
good. I can't rely on the look good and just give up what I want.
Right. But you can have both. You can say, yeah, I do. And just wait till you see me 20 pounds from now.
Right.
Okay. And seriously.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, thank you. We used to at camps. She doesn't teach us anymore. But we used to she used to tell us at camp when someone gave you a compliment, you always said, thank you. I've been working very hard.
And you know what? And for the longest time, I was saying, thank you. You know, I'm working at it or it's been hard work. And I don't just say thank you, like what you just said. You know what I mean? I have to qualify it almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say thank you, I've been doing really great work. That reinforces the pride in the work that you've done and that you can continue to do the work if you want to.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I've got to really work on the 3 bites, maybe. Not maybe. I need to work on leaving.
I think you just need to relook at your plus two and be okay. You know, you have to wrap your mind around the fact that you're eating to maintain right now and decide if that's what you really want.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. I think you want the 20 pounds because you've brought it up a couple of times, right?
Oh, yes. I want Century Club by camp.
And girl, you are so close.
Yeah.
How, you know, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to think, feel, and do in order to lose the last 20?
Right.
Or 23.
I've got to really work on that. Because if I do that, if I think about that, it's going to get me out of maintenance.
Yes. If you really get back to work on it, it will. So let's put
right
in the result line here, last 20 gone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put Century Club. So for all of you newbies on the call or listening on the podcast, Century Club is when you lose 100 pounds. That's Century 100. It's called Century Club. It's a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. So what do you have to do to lose the last 20 and hit Century Club?
I have to stop the off-plan eats or plan more realistically. I just got to stop the off-plan eats. And I have to make the choices that are going to get me closer to my goal.
Anything else?
Really spend time on the discovery worksheets when I need them. I mean, doing these discovery worksheets consistently has been something new for me in the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So much better than the old worksheet, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. So much.
So much better.
I want to do them.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like I was coming up with the same answers, and this just makes me think more.
Yeah. Anything else? How about recalibrate your hunger scale?
Yes.
Okay. And to do those things,
mm-hmm.
to do these things, how do you have to feel?
Motivated.
Motivated.
Or empowered. Motivated. Mm-hmm.
You like, which one do you like?
I'll motivated is good. Okay. I like empowered.
Which one probably. Do you want here? Empowered?
Motivated. Let's just, okay, empowered.
Okay.
I don't want to make you erase. Empowered.
I don't
is
care.
Good.
I haven't erased.
All right.
Okay. And to feel empowered that you're going to create this result, what do you have to think?
That I'm willing to do the work.
Right. Okay. Our C lineup here is the last 20. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're willing to do the work to lose the last 20. 23, which makes you feel empowered. And when you feel empowered, you do these things. And when you do these things, you lose the weight.
Yeah. So every time, you know, when I listen to the calls, it all seems like common sense. It's just putting it into practice because it's really not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, the action line is super important in the model. You can write models mm-hmm. all day long, right? You can create beautiful models that show you how a thought's going to create a result. But if you're not doing the things on the action line, you're not going to get the result you desire. You actually have to do these things.
Yeah.
But when you get the result that you desire, then you start to believe in the result and in the thought.
Yeah. And that, I mean, and I've enjoyed the result so far, though today I look back at Happy Scale and I'm like, oh, I lost 54 pounds this year. And I thought, well, 54 pounds, I should have lost more. But then I thought, but 54 pounds is huge.
So, okay. So do you still believe you should have lost more? Or did you just have that thought let it fly by?
I had that thought and let it fly by.
Okay.
I had my journal out when I had that thought, and I mm-hmm. I just pushed that away and I said, look at what you did do.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. I lost my weight at about a pound a week.
You did.
It's very super doable when you do it slowly like that. because mm-hmm. your brain starts to wrap itself around the new habits that you're creating and the new life that you're living. Mm-hmm. And I think it's perfect to do it that way. It took me about 18 months to lose 80 pounds. Yeah. So I don't know, you know, that's about a pound a week. And that's what you've done. And what you're doing, what you did, seems very sustainable because you did it that way, right?
Right. Because I had the things that I wanted and, you know, could I have lost more faster? Probably, but I wouldn't have done everything I wanted.
Right. And you may not still be doing it. You might be sick of it by now, but feeling deprived and restricted and doing too much and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've done it by doing the basics and watching your brain. And that's what makes this program easy.
That's what makes it so, I mean, it seems when I tell people about it, they're like, yeah, you've got to be cutting something out. And I'm like, I'm not. So.
Yeah. I'm cutting out the overeating.
Right.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I'm so proud of you for getting on your look. Well, thank January 1st, you've met your first goal.
I have met my first goal, right. And I wasn't even nervous because I didn't realize I raised my hand.
That's
so
hilarious.
Thank you so much.
Are you coming back to camp this year?
Yes, I'm coming every time but July.
Awesome.
So far.
Awesome. Good deal. Yeah. All right. Take care.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right.
Bye.
Nina, you're next.
Hello.
Hi. Gotcha.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Thanks
I'm sitting
for waiting.
Outside. Of course. I'm so excited that I actually got on. I didn't think I would. So I'm an April baby.
Okay.
So I've been in the tribe for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And I have really struggled with losing weight. I'm up and down, back and forth. One thing I do consistently is make a plan every single day.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do not do consistently is follow my plan. And I'm also still not in a place where I can't, I'm still an overeater. I'm still overeating. I shouldn't say I'm an overeater, but I'm still overeating. And so I'm really struggling. Like, I've been watching my weight over the holidays, which is probably not the best thing to be doing, but you know, I'll have like an overeating day and then I'll step on the scale the next morning and I'll be like, oh my God, it's coming back. And then that creates this anxiety in my mind.
What's coming back? Right,
the weight's coming back.
Oh, the weight's coming back. How much have you lost?
At my high, I was down 13 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm only down about 5 pounds.
Okay. All right.
So I'm, of course, now I'm starting to create this anxiety that I'm going to get back to my starting weight. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've been in the tribe for this much time. And so it's just all the feelings and all the thoughts that I'm having, right? Like, I'm failing, I'm not doing this, I'm not showing up for myself. I mean, it's all these thoughts and it's just putting me in that overwhelming space. Like you were just talking to the girl earlier about super overwhelmed, feeling like I'm not succeeding. Even the days that I make the plans, realistic where I'm putting down like cookies and chips and like all these things, I still find a way to break it every single day. So I still find a way to break it.
Let's talk about that.
Instead. Yeah. Or I'm still breaking it, I guess I should
Are you
say.
Doing your discovery worksheets?
I haven't done one yet. I haven't done the new ones. I used to do the recovery plans all the time.
All right. So give me an example of a time that you broke plan. Let's just use the most recent one.
Yesterday.
Okay.
So yesterday I was on plan like a champ all the way through lunch mm-hmm. and I was having people over for New Year's Eve. So I was completely controlling the menu. Mm-hmm. I had down that I was going to eat 2 slices of pizza. I was going to have salad and I was going to have 2 glasses of wine plus a glass of champagne plus dessert. So, I mean, I felt like it was a really realistic plan.
Okay. So
this was two pizza.
Mm-hmm. Salad,
2 wine, champagne,
2 wine, 1 champagne. Anything else?
Mm-hmm.
This dessert. Is what was on the plan and dessert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what I had on the plan.
All right.
So then I get So then I get there and my husband had gone out and bought some appetizers. Well, okay. I forgot about the appetizers. So okay. It was just like a veggie tray with some cheese and sausage on it. And then there was chips and salsa. So immediately when I saw the chips and salsa, I just started like eating the chips and salsa. And I'm like, this is not on my plan. This is not my plan as I'm eating another chip. You know what I mean?
So right, it was so like this. When you're saying this is not on my plan and you're eating another chip, what is the other part of your brain saying? It doesn't matter or we're going to eat anyway or you wouldn't be on. What is.
What's probably the, like, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm just going to do it anyway.
I just want it.
I just want it. Screw okay. it. It's New Year's Eve. I deserve it. It's part of the experience. And okay. that's the other thing too, is I do kind of put food and experiences kind of in the same bucket, if that okay. makes sense. Like if okay. that, I make that a part of it. So that's been a perpetual issue for me, okay. I think throughout.
It's not a perpetual yes. issue. Mm-hmm.
It's just happening.
Yeah.
It's what I do. Yeah. Food yeah. equals fun in my mind, and I don't okay. want that to be the case.
All right. And then, so we had the chips and salsa, and the we'll just put apps here.
Yep.
Okay.
Other than that, I ended up eating 3 slices of pizza versus the 2.
Okay.
And I probably had like another half a glass of champagne.
Okay.
So I did feel very, 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 very full though at the end of the night.
Okay.
And then
did you have the salad?
I did have the salad.
Okay. All right. So after you had the apps, mm-hmm. the appetizers, when it mm-hmm. came time for pizza, what was the thought?
I'm really not hungry, but I'm going to eat it. I wasn't okay. hungry. I knew I wasn't. I was like, at that point, I'm like, you know, you've eaten yourself to a place. Probably I was probably at 2 already at +2 or 3 by mm-hmm. the time I ate the pizza.
Is that like a, well, it doesn't matter now kind of thought?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Like at this point I've already eaten off plan and it's like this idea that it's not perfect. So I'm just going to totally screw it up now. All like it's already right. imperfect. So I'm just going to keep it going.
Okay. Keep it going. I think that's what you
keep
said.
Keep the shit show going.
All right. You and Allah, right? Did you hear Allah yeah. call?
I didn't hear Allah. No.
Okay. She was at the, she also has this kind of thought going on.
Yeah.
If, I've already messed it up, I may as well eat. Right?
Yeah.
So why do you let that thought take hold? Why is that thought so, you know, why so is that strong. Thought okay? Why is it okay?
Why is it okay to say, oh, I don't know if I know the answer to that. It's honestly, the only thing I can think of is habit, just because I do that
there's
so much.
Some kind of benefit to giving into that thought for you.
What's the benefit? I don't know if the food is doing something for me, you know, if it's making me feel good. Is it like a drug of some sort? I don't know. Is it making you feel in control?
Maybe it just gives you a pass so you don't have to do any work. So you don't have to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hate the uncomfortable part. And I've sat in discomfort many times. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, sitting in discomfort doesn't work or not work. It's just there.
It is there.
It's a feeling.
I guess what I meant to say is sometimes I give into it and sometimes I don't.
Yeah, that's
I mean to say.
That's the whole key to it. Feeling the discomfort and deciding what to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So husband brings in the chips and salsa. You felt discomfort. You immediately had this. Absolutely. Oh my God, there's chips and salsa. I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just eat.
I'll just eat it.
Right.
That's what I do. Exactly. Yeah.
So in that moment, you're not thinking about the weight that you want to lose. You're thinking about, I don't want to feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why is discomfort so terrible? Do you have any children?
I do. I have 2 kids.
Oh, so you felt discomfort the first time and chose it again.
What? You mean when I had kids?
Yeah. You had to birth that baby, right? That second baby.
I had to birth them. Yes, I did. That's a good point.
My grandfather used to say, if
If the men of the world had the babies, there'd be one per family.
There'd be one per family, if that. Yeah, exactly.
So you can feel discomfort, right? Mm-hmm. Do you exercise?
I do. That's why I'm outside right now. I was out doing a little walk. I think I walk more than anything else. Walk, and then I try to jog sometimes when my back's not acting up. And then I go to the gym and do like the elliptical and some weights. But
do you push yourself at all?
Not
when you exercise when you get on the elliptical. When is it like this is the best thing ever, or are you doing it? Is it a little bit uncomfortable sometimes because you know I got other things to do, or I'm getting a little sore in my hamstrings, or anything like that?
I have a little bit of that. I think I haven't pushed myself in quite some time, to be honest with you. Okay. And I used to be an avid exerciser. I used to do triathlons. I used to be really, really active. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think I've never come out of it. What happened was for us, we just kind of had like a mild thing happen. It's one of the things that attracted me to Tribe is my son was diagnosed with autism when he was a year and a half old. Mm-hmm. And both my husband and I really fell into a little bit of a depression for several years. And that's when we put on a lot of this weight. Both of us have put on probably between 40 and 50 pounds between the two of us. Each of us have put on between 40 and 50 pounds. And I think that, you know, whether it's a traumatic event, if it's not, it's a big life change. It's been a life change. We've just never really come out of it, you know, and he's six now.
Okay. So you have, let's see, he was diagnosed a year and a half. So mm-hmm. 4.5 years.
Yeah.
You have felt discomfort.
Absolutely.
Handled it, right? You haven't ignored his autism, I'm sure.
No.
Right?
No.
So you can feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Right? I think you're just telling yourself, I don't want to feel uncomfortable.
100%.
But you can.
We don't want to.
Right? Because you used to do triathlons. You've birthed babies.
Yes.
You've handled this boy of yours, I'm sure, like a champ. You know, everything you know how to do for him.
Yes.
You feel discomfort. So how can you translate that into discomfort for eating? Is it just super easy for you to just not feel uncomfortable when you're around eating?
It's a simple fix, right? So like when it's uncomfortable, when Tyler's acting a certain way, it's not an easy fix, right? Like I can't easily fix that behavior or I can't help, but like food gives me, I feel like I have some control over it. And I think that there's something there, like for me to, it's something I really do control, the food. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot in my life that I can't control.
Do you feel like you control the food though, when you go after the chips and salsa, when they're not on plan? I know you're making a decision to eat the chips and salsa in the
moment. I am.
But is it a reactionary decision or is it a controlled decision?
Gosh, and you know, it's funny when I think about the chips and salsa yesterday, it was so calm. I'm like, what could I possibly have been reacting to? You know, it was more just like, oh, there it is. I want it. I'm just going to have it.
That's it. That's all you're reacting to is the thought, I just want that.
I just want that. I'm just going to have it.
I heard Corinne say, she may have said this on the podcast, but I heard her say recently that 9 out of 10 times, you know, we all think there's some deep seated reason that we eat.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 times, it's, I just want that. And we don't want to tell ourselves no, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in that moment, you chose chips and salsa over, you know, whatever weight you want, the 40 pounds you want to lose or 30 or whatever it is.
40,
now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what you have to do is bring all that back in and say, how can I in the moment decide that the weight loss is more important than the food? And that's where you start doing work on your compelling reasons.
Yes. Right?
And you come up with as many as you can. I don't know if you, when did you say? April?
Yeah.
Or when Corinne did the call with John Acuff, who wrote Finish, the book Finish. And he talked about how you should have 20 or 25, just a ton of compelling reasons, because on different days, different things are going to land with you.
Right.
So today, your compelling reason might be, I want to run another triathlon. Tomorrow, it might be because I want to take good care of Tyler for the rest of my life. The next day might be because I want to look good in my pants. You know, seriously, whatever it is in that day that helps you make a more intentional decision
when it comes mm-hmm. to food is what you have to draw from.
Right.
Right. And it's whatever in that moment will override, I just want it.
And I almost have to like kind of reference those compelling reasons. And I haven't had, I think I do need to sit down and write a ton of compelling reasons. Yeah. I think that would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I started, you know, it's the cycle like Corinne talks about, started super strong, super motivated. You know, I got some of the weight off and I was feeling really good after, exceeding 10 pound weight loss. I've never done that before. So I was like, oh my God, this is really working. Mm-hmm. And then it's been just a roller coaster.
Well, the first thing is when you say this is really working, you should say mm-hmm. I'm really working.
Right.
Because it's, you totally gave credit to the plan when it was you actually doing the work.
That's
and I
true.
Think we miss that so often. We're the first ones to take credit for our overeats. I screwed up. Mm-hmm. I can't, mm-hmm. Whatever. Right. But we so many times don't take credit for the progress and for the things that we're doing and the things that
we're and how we're working hard,
how we're working.
Yeah.
Right.
Every day. It takes time to make the plan. It takes time to do all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You should every plan that gets made and assessed needs a sticker. Somebody said they bought stickers, but it needs a little bit of a, mm-hmm. I did my work today. I mean,
and it was interesting because the girl who spoke a couple people ago, she said that she's like, I just don't trust myself right now. And I need somebody else to tell me that I'm doing something right or that I'm doing it right. And I'm totally right there with her. I'm like, mm-hmm. I just don't trust myself anymore because I don't even trust myself when I make a plan that I can keep it. You know, I'm feeling like the trust in myself has been lost a little bit and I need to get that back.
Well, that trust is built right with a thought.
Yeah.
But it's also, one of the, I was telling somebody this just today in the Facebook group. Do you do yoga by any chance?
I don't.
You ever been to a yoga studio? A yoga studio has a padded floor. Okay. And when mm-hmm. you do one of those crazy balance moves, that's got you on one leg and the other one in the mm-hmm. air. Your arms spread out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you fall out of that pose. It's okay in yoga mm-hmm. at a studio because you're on a padded floor. You can fall down.
Right.
You're not going to break your nose or your arm or anything, whatever.
Right.
PMP, the community, as coaches, mm-hmm. they're like your padded floor. If you ever feel like you can't trust yourself or you don't know what to do next mm-hmm. or you're not sure if this is the right decision, that's when you totally ask someone and we have your mm-hmm. back. We say, absolutely, Nina, we're here for you. This mm-hmm. is what, this is what we do, right? I'll believe in you until you can believe in you. I've heard Corinne say that so much lately.
Totally.
That's so true. It is.
It's so true. Cause I honestly, that was going to be my next question to you is tell me what to do next. Honestly, that's where I'm at. I almost need someone to just tell me what to do next. Mm-hmm. How do I make a small next best decision, that I can actually stick to, maybe it's just one little thing. I mean, I'm a water drinker, the water, I can mm-hmm. check that box every day.
Yeah.
The sleep, I can check that box every day. Those two are non-issues. Mm-hmm. It's the hunger scale. It's the hunger scale that's the issue.
Okay.
It's the overeats.
So you say you make your realistic plans and you don't follow them, right?
Yep.
So your next steps are discovery worksheets. Every time you eat off plan or overeat,
mm-hmm.
you have to commit to those. You need to start seeing what it is that's creating that, what thought is creating that urge to overeat.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other thing I was going to tell you? You're already doing your plans. You're already assessing them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're realistic.
They are. They're very, and I feel like that's the crazy part. Even today, it's I had 2 slices of pizza on my plan. I had chips and salsa on my plan. All the mm-hmm. things that I went for yesterday. I even have a cookie on my plan. And I'm just even debating now if I'm going to eat any more today, just because I haven't even eaten everything on my plan. I'm fine.
Okay.
The thing
I was going to tell you was compelling reasons. I don't want to forget it.
Oh yeah, the compelling reasons.
Right?
Yep, got it.
So discovery worksheets are non-negotiables and compelling reason, and do your compelling reason work and see if that doesn't just give you a little bit of a nudge around,
mm-hmm.
I just want it. What do you really just want? Is it really, do you really just want the chips and salsa or do you really just want whatever that compelling reason is? To look in your
exactly
pants, to lose 40 pounds, to take care of Tyler, to show up, to do another triathlon, whatever it is.
Yeah. I need to make some compelling reasons. I think I'm going to go do that right now.
Good deal.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate
it. You're very welcome. All right.
Okay. We'll bye.
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 Okay. Let's see what's in the Q&A. Let me get my whiteboard out of the way. Discovery worksheet under page two. Page two under Let's Get Real. The question, you said yes to this overeat. What are three things you said no to? The example says, I said no to losing weight this week. I said no to sleeping without heartburn. On the bottom of the question, remember the rule PMP. And PMP is to help us figure out the problem, not beat yourself up. My question is, what goes here? Is it all negative? The consequences of the overeat? Or can it be no to a third piece of candy? That's exactly what it is, Anonymous. Just like what Nina and I were just talking about. When she said yes to... Let's see, wait a minute. She said yes to the overeat. What are the three... what she said no to was following her plan. I just drew a blank. Following her plan, losing 40 pounds, and the next triathlon. That's what she said no to when she said yes to the overeat. Okay, does that make sense? So it's not negative. It's just showing you in your brain what the result was of overeating. So my husband's not home. Y'all know, well, some of you know, if you listen to me very often, that I used to have a habit of eating my way through the kitchen when Ken was not home. So I have to think when I go downstairs and have dinner, if I say yes to overeating, what am I saying no to? I'm saying no to my commitment to myself. I'm saying no to following my plan. I'm saying no to maintaining my weight. Does that make sense? Nicole says, best book to help with relationship with parents besides the bonus course. Relationships with parents. It's a very good question, Nicole. Some of the relationships books I am reading lately are, let's see, I read The Love Languages, which is for marriages. I have The 7 Secrets to Healthy, Happy Relationships, but I haven't read it yet. So I tell you what, Nicole, ask me that question, put that question and ask coaches in about a month, because I'm working my way through books and I'm trying to find books on different types of relationships. So I will tell you the relationships course, the bonus course that you're talking about is really good. It's really, really good. Elizabeth, Kathy, can you speak a little bit about consistency in weight loss? I seem to be doing really great, staying consistent with the things I want to do, making a plan, focusing on hunger scale, etc. Then I drop it all and relax for a day or week or month. I've written to ask coaches and I agree with the response that the life I'm creating is still feeling like a diet to me and I'm needing a break from it. I've struggled with the last 3 months to create a life that doesn't feel like a diet life, but I recently relaxed over Christmas again. Well, Elizabeth, diet life is your thought. If you want to lose weight, you are creating a new way of eating. Okay. If you decide that that new way of eating is a diet life, it's going to feel like a diet life. But if you decide that your new way of eating is what you want to do for the rest of your life so that you can lose weight, it's not going to feel like a diet. So that's where I would start for you. If it feels hard, then you have a thought that's creating that feeling. Does that make sense? I think whoever answered your question is right on. If you're there's diet mentality is part of the first phase of the no BS. I think I'd go back and listen to that and see if that helps you. All right. I was on the 2020 call yesterday and Corinne said she'd be posting what the coaches plan, eat, journal, etc. Where can I find that? Yes, we have actually been working on that. It is so cool, y'all. So MJ and Betsy and I have filled out planner pages and the team, the graphic person on the team is putting it all together into a bonus for you guys. You apparently started this week. So everyone in the tribe will get this bonus when it comes out. It is not out yet. We are still proofreading and, you know, making it pretty and all the things. So I think it will be out on Friday, if I'm not certain. I am certain. I know that it'll be out Friday, if I'm not mistaken, is what I meant to say. So yeah, it's very cool. It is very cool. Let's see if there are any other questions. One more. Alexis, how should I manage fear around not losing the weight because I've been at the same weight for about 3 months? Fear is a feeling that's created by a thought. Okay. So ask yourself, why am I afraid about not losing the weight? What makes me afraid here? And see if you can identify your thought, then ask yourself if that thought is true. Okay. And then ask yourself, is it really fear? Because maybe it's doubt. And ask yourself why you doubt it. Sometimes fear covers up doubt. You know, fear is easy for us to misdiagnose, if you will, because it's an easy to access feeling, you know, kind of like when the tigers are chasing us. Corinne talks about the tigers chasing us. That's fear. So Alexis, ask yourself why you don't think you're going to lose the weight. And then get really real with yourself on how well you're doing your basics. If I were you, I would do that habit tracker every day in January so that you know which basics you need to work on for February. Make sense? Connie says, I'm thinking about doing the one-on-one coaching. Have the coaches done this with someone who is going through a divorce? Yes. I currently have one client who is just signed her papers. I have another client who is 6 years out of her divorce and still finding her new normal. I can't tell you much about Betsy's clients because she has quite a few. I don't know if she's currently coaching anyone going through a divorce or if she has coached one in the past, but honestly, we have a model. Both of us can coach that. Okay. So if you want to sign up for one-on-one coaching, just go to the website and look at the page and see if it's something that appeals to you. All right. That's the last question. Really quickly, everyone. Today is January 1st. If you're listening to this call on the Private Member podcast over the next day or two, I wanted to remind you about Corinne's Welcome to PMP Tribe, How to Succeed in PMP Tribe Zoom that is on Saturday at noon. Everyone is welcome. If you are a new tribe member, if you've been around for years and years and years, everyone is welcome on this Zoom. And then Sunday, we have weekly planning and more office hours, just same format as this. And I believe that's my call, yes. And then Coach Betsy will be doing office hours next Wednesday night. And all, noon central. Yes, noon central on both Saturday and Sunday. Corinne's call on Saturday is noon central. And then the weekly planning and office hours with the coaches is noon central on Sunday. All of these calls are on the tribe calendar on pmptribe.com. If you go to Get Coached, and then you want to look at the training calendar, that's where you'll find them. All right, you guys, have a great rest of your night, and I will see you soon. Bye.